Hey, it's Monday. We'd like to check in with Dick Weiss, our media critic extraordinaire. He's WeissWright.com. That's how you get a hold of him, WeissWright.com. He's also a contributing editor to STLBeacon.org, longtime editor of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Dick, always a pleasure, my friend.
Hey, it's great to be back. Great to be sandwiched between Gail Pennington and Mike Shannon.
Not bad, huh?
Yeah.
Not bad. All right, so last week the Pulitzer Prizes were announced. And there was some interesting news all around.
I'll tell you, the best of times, the worst of times, the New York Times wins 5 Pulitzers. And in the same week, its debt is downgraded to junk by 2 ratings firms. And its ad revenue reported falling 27% in the first quarter.
Shocking.
So not great things for the Times. And congratulations to the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Pulitzer finalist, that's like finishing in the top 3 or 4.
Sure.
For their coverage of the Kirkwood shootings.
Mm-hmm.
But worst of times, in a ill-timed layoff, the Lee Enterprises, the parent company, had some cuts at the Suburban Journals, and one of those cuts was a young man, Todd Smith, who took a bullet in the hand during the Kirkwood shootings, and he was laid off.
Wait a minute. You're telling me that Lee Enterprises laid off the reporter who was in the room who took a bullet?
He took a bullet, yep.
And they laid him off.
Yeah, now this is getting reported nationally as they're connecting this with the Post-Dispatch, which the Post-Dispatch, the executives there, had nothing to do, I'm quite sure, with Todd Smith's layoff. He works for a different unit.
Right.
But it's all Lee Enterprises. And in the same week as they're a finalist, of course, they didn't know that was going to happen.
Right.
Todd gets the news. He said he was a little bit shocked. And it was for budgetary reasons. He said he got called in on Tuesday and told I need to be at a meeting on Wednesday. And
how's his hand doing? Is he all
he's recovered and he's fine? And he was an online editor for the West County and South County editions. This made the national news. This was on Howard Kurtz's Reliable Sources.
Right.
So it was not a good. You don't want to give any media outlet irony to work with. And this is something that was just too good to pass up.
In the Pulitzer category for breaking news, right?
Breaking news.
All right.
Yeah.
And they fired the reporter who was there.
Yeah, nobody's safe.
Has Lee Enterprises said anything? Like,
no, I haven't.
Nothing. I guess what can you say?
No, you know, what can you say? I think it was just one hand not working with the other.
And, wow, that's really
orchestrating
good.
This appropriately.
All right. Is there a little battle royale going on between the RFT and your old newspaper?
You know, there had been, I think, a peace in our time for quite a while. The RFT always used to be a little snarky about the Post-Dispatch, and from time to time they have been. And things have been quiet on the Western Front until the Post-Dispatch started a campaign to boost morale. It's called Moxie. And they had done some things within the paper to kind of help the staff members feel better about what was going on with the Post-Dispatch. And, they've been winning some awards, and there are some good things. And the paper, at one point, kind of in a surprise, painted in some rather garish colors the hallways to kind of, I don't know, increase people's spirits. And the RFT made fun of that. And one of the facts that had been going around part of the Moxie campaign was that more St. Louis adults use the Post-Dispatch than go to dentists. And so the RFT kind of made fun of that. Well, you know, a trip to the dentist. So Bob Rose, who's a senior editor at the paper, kind of fired back. He said, after the RFT did that, he said, in case you're wondering, here was Friday's Moxie message. 4 times more St. Louis adults read the Post-Dispatch on any single weekday then read the Riverfront Times in a week. Ba-boom.
No, they didn't.
So then it went back and forth a little while. A lot of people posted comments, and you can find that on the RFT. And was it STLRFT.whatever blog?
Right.
And so if you want to get in on that little fight.
I suspect the morale-boosting campaign is working for some and not working for people like Sylvester Brown or Todd Smith.
Right, right. Yeah. Not
Sylvester Brown's morale probably needs a boost or two, but I don't think he's going to get it from his old newspaper. Speaking of that, you've done a little research here into how many black journalists have been cut over the last couple of months.
Yeah, there was something actually I found on Sylvester's blog. He's continuing to blog at Sylvester Brown Jr. at blogspot.com.
Right.
And he picked up a report that newsroom jobs held by black journalists were cut by 13.5% in 2008, making African Americans the single most targeted group for job losses in newsrooms across the country, according to a study released by the American Society of Newspaper or News Editors. ASNE, and it made me wonder how many African Americans had departed from the Post-Dispatch. So I did a count. This can't be called official. I just worked with somebody who I knew at the paper and asked see if they could put some numbers together. But by our count, since 2005, first buyouts occurred, something like 23 African Americans have left the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. And there are something like 13 African-Americans left in the newsroom. And I was surprised to find it. I mean, some of the African-Americans are fairly prominent. Brian Burwell, for instance, a longtime columnist for the paper, a terrific guy. But I was surprised to see that really one basically metro reporter on the street, Denise Hollinshed, one African-American. There are a couple of photographers, graphic designers, health reporter, and so on, but it's down to 13 out of a total of 205 staff members at this point.
You would think such a, shall we say, liberal and progressive thinking newspaper, at least with their editorial page, they would be much more committed to, say, diversity.
You would, and of course there are other people of color in the newsroom, so this is not, I don't even want to say that any of those people were dismissed because of race. It's just that it's been very hard for the Post-Dispatch to retain and keep African-American reporters and editors and journalists, and hard to hire because, of course, they're not doing much hiring.
Right, but of the 22 African-Americans who you thought of that were fired, there's been hundreds of Caucasians that have been let go.
Well, not hundreds of the Post-Dispatch, but about 100 journalists, I believe, have left the Post-Dispatch in one way or another.
Right.
So if you take 22,
that's one fifth.
That would be a fifth, but that's kind of a raw number. That's not precise, but it's a problem.
Yeah. What's the best story we've never read?
Well, this was a Deb Peterson suggestion. She said, you know, you go all around the world. You get stuff from the New York Times, and right here in your own backyard, there is a terrific story. I don't know if you talked about this on the air. Elks lock horns over DWI arrest. This is a piece by Christine Byers in the Post-Dispatch in which a member of the Elks turned in a buddy who he thought might be driving under the influence. And the Elks have this code, what goes on here stays here. And they were very ticked off at this gentleman who turned in his brother. I don't know if they call him brothers or fellow.
He was an Elks Club member.
Right.
So another member.
He turned in another member, and things have not gone well for this gentleman. I'm not sure how to pronounce this. Ulsas?
Now,
Ulsas.
Where is this Elks Club?
This is in Imperial, Missouri, not too far from here in Jefferson County.
Wow.
And the driver, James Doug Conley, turned out to be a fellow Elk. Now, Al said that he didn't know he was turning in a fellow Elk, but that's how it turned out.
Right.
And there's been a dust-up over this since February of 2008.
Wow. How about that?
So I have the link on my site. Of course, you can always go to STL Today and find it as well.
Yes.
Using their search engine.
Speaking of the Pulitzer Prizes, what I find fascinating is if you win that prize, which is basically invented by Joseph Pulitzer, mm-hmm. is that not correct?
Yeah, it goes back to the turn of the century, I believe.
So, it has its base here in St. Louis, at least. You get $10,000. That's it.
Yeah, $10,000. And there was a guy, columnist for the New York Times, William Crystal, got $250,000 from a right-wing think tank for being a great, conservative columnist.
Right.
And the Times let him go.
And, was that the reason why?
No. It was just they didn't think it was that good.
Right.
And he gets $250K. So
right. Know. Right. Well, but I mean, here's the top of your profession. The people think this is the best story in the category for the year. It's the best. Here's $10,000. Seems a little on the thin side.
And if you look at the previous Pulitzer Prize winners in the last several years, many of them are no longer in journalism, including your cousin.
Yeah.
J.R. Moehringer.
He was in town the other day. Just left. He came in for the Met series. But it's scary how many former Pulitzer Prize winners are out of a job and not working in journalism anymore.
Yeah, it's they're finding things to do because they're terrific writers, and none of them are going to starve.
Right.
I don't think JR is, but that's it's draining. But in spite of that, you know, the Post-Dispatch in the last several weeks has done really well.
I agree.
Terrific stories. Good Sunday paper again today.
I agree. I agree totally. Quickly, what's going on with stlbeacon.org?
We know we have, speaking of people who've left the Post-Dispatch, Phil Dine has a story on stlbeacon.org looking at the defense budget and its impact on St. Louis. So people want to read about that.
Which is, we're going to be talking about that as well in the next couple of days. Congressman Aiken, Senator Bond, not happy about what the proposals are and what it would do to Boeing. So, all right, Dick Weiss, weissright.com, thanks, Dick, and we'll check in with you next Monday.
Okay.